21.
Dude, that's awesome, bro. Yeah. Holy shit.
Yeah, we should have done something on drinking.
Yeah. And it's funny that I don't drink, so.
Yeah, that's well, that was like one of the things. I'm like, Casey, what should we talk about when he gets here? He's like, I don't know, maybe ask him about drinking, see what if he drinks it. I'll be a personal trainer. I mean, you kind of hope that you actually don't drink because it's easy to practice what you
drink. No, I'll have a good conversation for sure.
Nice. Well, sweet. We're live right now. Casey, how's the audio? Are we legitness?
Okay.
Cool.
Sweet. We're in it. This is Blake Peters. He is a personal trainer / nutritionist. Am I able to call you that?
Yeah. Certified nutrition coach.
Hell yeah.
CNC.
Personal trainer, nutritionist. Blake, you excited to do podcast things?
Yeah, dude. I've been on a couple, Building the Dream.
Yeah, Building the Dream. That's how you and I...
Buddy. Yeah, that's how we met.
Shout out Matt and Alex.
Yep. Great, guys. Thank you.
Yeah, exactly.
I got my own business, BP HealthX Fitness, and been having the joy of being able to bring some personal training knowledge and have that kind of attached to me to be one thing to kind of resource out there and get the information out that's kind of comes straight from me and no other like kind of holdbacks from other gyms and things like that.
Right. You can support your clients fully the way you think they should be supported.
Yeah.
I love it. I love the plug at the beginning. That's probably better than at the end. Because usually I ask at the end, I'm like, so anything you wanna plug or whatever? And they're like, yeah, my business. But usually I'm guessing most followers are probably not listening anymore. So you nailed it, in other words. You got it. Well, let's jump right into it. Why personal fitness?
Dude, honestly, I think it was, a gym seems like a weird place to want to work, but when I was like...
Smelly sometimes.
Yeah, dude, like when I was...
to the gym today, smelly.
Dude, just smells people, like, leaving body fluids places.
That's so
like,
true.
Dude, all of a sudden you'll, like, see blood on the ground. I mean, obviously, sometimes, like,
what?
I work at the Y, too, so, like, people playing basketball, I get a bloody nose or something, you know what I mean? But, like, yeah, you know, you got that, smells, after a while of you being in the gym, I feel like you almost get nose blind. I feel like as a male, too, you kind of are less intense than, like, females.
I hear what you're saying. It
was... When I was like 15, I started working out and doing exercise, and I would kind of like.
Why'd you start working out?
You know, honestly, I think it
were
was.
Were you chubby?
I kind of like when I was
you
like.
You look like you used to be super fat.
When I was
no,
like,
I'm just kidding.
When I was like 11 or 12, I would say I was like kidding. I was like, you know, obviously like now like I didn't have like abs and muscles and things like that, but I would say that was kind of it. Like it was definitely like an external probably motivation was just like to look better and attract females, especially when you're like 15.
Sure. Yeah, we can play all these little games that we want. Like I love to feel good. You know, it's better. But no, we do it for the girls. That's just
And then, you know, as I played high school, or I played high school lacrosse, and I played hockey up until high school, and then I quit, did a little cross country. So then it was like, okay, like, I can lift to, like, be better in sport, and then I guess I kind of evolved as, like, okay, now, like, how can I be better in, like, life? Like, lifting heavy things is kind of cool. Like, if you got to help somebody move out, I'm always the one to call.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Gives you an excuse to put a sleeveless on, too. And go,
yeah, dude.
Go pick some things up. Flash a tricep real quick.
Oh, yeah.
Any chick friends that want to watch me lift stuff?
I would just say, like, I started working on my Lifetime. I'm from the cities, and we had Lifetimes on there, and the White Bear Lifetime, I would just kind of, like, glorify the personal trainers. Like, that's such a cool job. Like, and I kind of wanted to be like them, you know, big and muscle. And, and so that's kind of, I guess, how I got into it. In high school, I then took, like, you know, I was like, all right, this is the route I want to take. So I kind of took a couple anatomy and kinesiology classes, and I was like, hey, this is kind of cool. I like learning about the human body, and then took that to exercise science at UMD, and got my personal trainer certification along the way so I could work at Rec Sports and Outdoor Program there, which was a huge stepping stone, so shout out to them at UMD. Got to work with some clients, and then that kind of, like, was that experience where it was like, okay, this is, like, you doing what you want to do in your career.
Yeah.
So that, you know, not everybody, I'm fortunate enough to have that, like, just steady building block of, like, the steps that led to where I'm at today.
Right.
Because like back then it was like, oh, you just work at a gym. You know what I mean? There's so many gyms around. You just work at a gym and that's what you do. And then the business just kind of came as like a whole evolution, I would guess I would say. It's like, oh, this is where I want to take this now.
Right.
But yeah, it just kind of is weird how it all kind of fell into place and it all, now it's just kind of like you just take it and run with it.
Yeah.
You know?
So you were working, or are still working at the gym?
I'm still working at the Y a little bit. Okay. You know, there's things that also those big commercial gyms have, you know, and it can be in the cities too, like Experience Fitness, Lifetime. They got the pools, they got the sauna, things like that, steam room. Hot so it's tub. Like, you know, I'm not there yet. So I still want to have those things and, they're good to, utilize, especially like trying to do like some triathlon training. So I need a pool to swim at. So
nice. That's not the hot tub though. Somebody died there.
Dude. Yeah.
Remember that?
Oh God.
Like
dude.
Last year. Yeah, did you know about that?
Yeah, dude, that was bad.
Did you hear about that, Casey?
But,
some homeless dude died in the hot tub at the YMCA.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hot tub was turned up too high, I think.
No, I think it was no, there was some complications.
I don't know what it is.
But that's some
is nice though. So you have the pool there, the bikes of course and
yeah, so that. So I'll keep my keep doing a little bit of stuff that I can't do on my own. I'm definitely on my own focused on like the personal training and the nutrition piece of things where it's like, you know, the strength training, body weight training. I really love the TRX. TRX is like a body weight suspension trainer is what it is. So you have a strap and then you can do like every exercise with it. I always teach my clients squats on there because it's always scary loading people up. Like, all right, here's your barbell, go and squat. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you can like you have your hands on the handle and you can sit back into it and like really like feel out how a squat feels without having weight on it. Or even like it's nice with body weight because people are like, my knees, you know what I mean? The people are worried about their knees and it's like, well, that you're not necessarily going to hurt yourself until you go too low to that point of pain.
Right.
Yeah,
I mean, knees, they're kind of doing exactly what the knees are there for.
right. Yeah. A squat is a natural thing. Like you're telling me that on a daily basis, like, do you drive a car?
Right.
Like you're going to have to squat to get in that thing. Like no question asked.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So,
and that becomes a major issue when people start to like get older or whatever, like they can't get in and out of vehicles or get it up and out of a couch because they're not able to squat. So I feel like if you keep up with like squatting and like constantly working your legs, like that'll become less of an issue when you get old.
Right. And you feel comfortable with it, you know what I mean? You know your limitations, like you know, like, oh, if I go down that far, I'm not getting up,
right?
Like, or you know, like, same thing too is like people with like, I teach yoga at the Y too, and you know, I throw some of that into my personal training because everybody's like, you know, you never know. Like, sometimes I go to a couple clients' houses, and sometimes it's like, I'm really tight, so then we start off with some yoga, and it just turns into a warm up, and it's like, man, that would have been kind of like a tough thing, like. How would I have modified the workout had we not had something to kind of like ease into this workout? Like, oh yeah, well that's fine. Just don't worry about it. We're just gonna get into the lifting, you know?
Right.
What I
mean? Yeah. Exactly.
You did sign your liability
waiver. So you're a big advocate for yoga then?
Yeah, dude. I think it's important because you feel your muscles out in a different way. It's not about like tension and force. It's more about lengthening and shortening. So like say your hamstrings, for example, when you reach and touch your toes, you're lengthening them out. Think like a rubber band.
Yeah.
When you're coming back up, they're kind of shortening back up. You're using your quads then to kind of bring yourself up or your glutes. And so it, you know, you're using your muscles in a different way, you know, in all areas of life, you have that similar thing, you know, in a car example, coming back to that is easy. Like if you stretch your leg out to the side when you're getting out of the car, that's kind of stretching that inside of the leg. So you get a little bit of each, the muscle force, the flexibility and the, you know, the tension.
Right.
So I guess that's kind of a cool way to like segue into like the styles of training, I think is really cool because people get kind of confused about that. So like yoga, you got flexibility.
Right.
There's some strength in there, like planks and things like that.
My concern with yoga is it seems like it's only girls that are in the yoga studios.
Dude, yeah, bro. Like, and it's funny.
Could you, like, because there's a yoga place right next to my office. So like there's big windows and I can see in there. I mean, I'm not like being creepy, but I noticed that it's like all women.
Oh, yeah,
so I
for
think
sure.
Like, if it was me and then like 17 ladies and then I'm like in the middle like doing the downward dog and then like... like a buddy or a coworker of mine walks by, they're gonna be like, "Oh my god, come check this out! Look at Gabe, the downward dog with a bunch of middle-aged
all
women."
All of a sudden, you're on Instagram.
Yeah, exactly, or... on Instagram, and I'm the laugh of the town because I don't look as good in my yoga pants as the ladies do. Yeah.
No, you know what's funny is, you know, you just go in the back, right? Like,
they should do an all male
broga, baby. That's broga. A thing. Is that That's a thing, a thing Casey, dude. That is definitely that? A thing. No. In the cities, I think it's a thing. You know, they have like the beer yoga too. Obviously, see that
it just it sounds manlier. So yeah. For that reason, I'd be like, why wouldn't I go? There's beer.
Right. And so, as a male instructor, like I draw that a little bit more, and I definitely am trying to like you know do that culture shift because guys are the ones that have the like tightest hamstrings.
Yeah.
You know, like the sit and reach test. I'd love to do that on like a whole bunch of guys because I had. One guy one time, he couldn't even touch like the move like the little thing on the box. Right. Like that's scary, man. Like you're so tight. You know, that's not good. That's a tough thing. I think what needs to happen is just like dudes need to do like, you know, it as like kind of like a group activity type thing is like, all right, tonight is yoga night. Like, instead of going to...
There needs to be a culture shift. It's not like it's, like a feminine thing to do. Like, you're basically just stretching.
Right.
Which is, like, it's not like stretching is, like, girly. Like, it's
and
something we should...
I think one of the things I try to teach, like, one of my mission, or, like, one of my things in my mission is, like, being functional.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, that, like, coming back to the car, like, you know, it's just, like, functional with, like, you're, you know, doing things in life. Like, you gotta be flexible and stretch and things like that. And then you also, you know, like things I work with people. So, like, there's a difference between muscle building and strength. And so this is kind of, like, one thing that I've, like, how do I explain this efficiently to people? And I've come up with strength is muscle force. So you usually achieve that by just putting on heavier weights, or at least I do, just to keep people going. Yeah. And, you know, doing, like, 5x5s, things like that. Yeah. Yep. And you want to have the form set. So that's how I usually kind of work with people, like, muscle building. I'm a little bit more of, like, the bodybuilding, muscle building thing. And that's where, like, the muscle stimulation comes into play. And that's fun because you got all of these different things you can do, like supersets where you're doing, you know, you're not necessarily doing heavier weights, but you're just trying to tell your, like, you're trying to, you know, hit your biceps as hard as you possibly can. So it's like, grow, man. You got to get bigger to handle all this work so I can add another, like, superset onto you, or another set. It doesn't have to be about the weights.
That's what I've heard, too, is you don't necessarily need to use the heavier weights, but, like, if, like, if you're doing, like, a lat pull down, for example, rather than just hitting it and bouncing it back up like that, hit it, and then, like, just, like, really try to force your lats.
So what you're talking about is, like,
tell your lats to, like, grow.
So, yeah, so I always like the example of, which was perfect that you said that, is, like, so, yeah, say, you know, your strength, you're doing a heavy lat pull down. It's a 1-2 coming up.
Right.
So you do 10 reps of a 2-second rep. That's 20 seconds of tension.
Yeah.
Versus if you were to do, like, a down, or like a 1-2, and then you get your little pause in there for 2, and then you come up for 2, that's a 6-second rep. You do 10 of those, that's 60 seconds of tension.
It's a lot
tougher. That's 3 times the tension of your strength, you know what I mean? Yeah. So people are like, oh, and I'm like, yeah, I had my mind blown by that too once I started, like, actually researching that. And you got to do a little bit of both. I like, in my own workouts, like, mixing that up. Like, I'll start with strength, and then I'll kind of go into muscle tension, because you want to be a little fatigued for that. Like, you know, you don't want to be going into it like, all right, I'm going to just do, like, all these reps, and it's going to be perfect, you know, every time. Like, you want to struggle through those muscle tension, because otherwise you're not getting that hard stimulus to grow.
So there's you're about to dive into, like, the different forms of, like, exercise kind of a thing. So, I mean, there's essentially, like, cardio, weightlifting, I guess, yoga. How would somebody know which they should do, or do you think they should just do
them? You know, I think it depends on their goals. So, like, you know, somebody who wants to lift heavier things, lift more, we'll just say, like, lift heavier objects or lift heavier in general. Those are going to be, like, the strength. People that, you know, like, you hear a lot of, like, weight loss or toning, that's kind of probably going to be, like, your muscle building, or even, like, cardio endurance is going to kind of come in there, because which is a little bit different. Like, you can lift weights, cardio endurance, like, light weights and a lot of reps. So say, like, you know, I always like my muscle building, like, 8 to 15
Your strength, usually it's like a 5 to 8 or less in there, depending on if you're maxing or whatever. And then, you know, your endurance is like, you know, 20, 30 reps, something like that. It's light weights. You're like sweating and your heart rate's like beating out of your chest. It's a little, you know, short rest.
Right.
So you can lift weights. You know, it doesn't have to just be like, you know, I'm going to cycle for 60 minutes or run for 60 minutes as my cardio.
Yeah.
And, you know, for the weight loss people, the, you know, toning people, you're probably going to be kind of doing a mixture of the muscle building and the cardio because it burns a lot more calories. And then also your toning, it's just such a weird word. I can't believe that's like a buzzword. Like, why don't we just call it like, you know, like muscle building or, you know, just like, I don't know. But I like the mind muscle connection or like things like that, because I feel like that's what was going to tone you, is like you actually feeling out your biceps or whatever muscle you're trying to get. Yeah. But that's a lot of goals. And I work with that, so it's cool.
Yeah. Do you have do you have like a favorite kind of client that you work with? Yeah, like, would you prefer to work with somebody who is maybe like training for like a physique show, or would you prefer to work with someone who is maybe overweight and looking to lose weight? Do you have a preference?
It's fun working with everybody. You know what I mean? Yeah. That's what like that's where like the marketing people hate me a little bit, is like, and I like, and like we have like a weird conversation. Yeah, because it's like, dude, pick your population. And I'm like, well, it's tough because I'll work with everybody. You know, I like a little bit of everything. Like, I don't want to just do yoga. I want to do, like, a little bit of strength and play around with it. One of my big populations that's kind of surprising is vulnerable adults. And so people
what is a vulnerable adult?
So a vulnerable adult is like somebody who has like,
Casey, are you vulnerable adult? It is. It's kind of an insult.
So
I hope nobody ever calls me that.
Well, so it's, so I look at it as it's the nicer way to calling somebody disabled, right? So a vulnerable adult is somebody who, you know, they might have a mental illness. Maybe they just have some sort of physical impairment that makes them vulnerable in some type of way.
Got it.
Doesn't have to be mental always. It can be physical. Yeah. And that basically requires them to, you know, need help. You know, a lot of these people that I work with that are vulnerable adults live in a group home. So they have a staff with them. I also work at a group home. So I kind of had my step shift in there, especially like all throughout college. I kind of was like, didn't exactly see them as a client. And then I got a couple of them as a client. I'm like, this is so cool. Like, they like really, really need me versus like some of the people that are like, I just need you for accountability and motivation. I'm like, okay, let's see what I can do with that. I can't, you gotta have the drive too, you know? So,
yeah, no, exactly. For the vulnerable adult, you actually use a bit more of your education.
Like I help them like get up and keep their arms sometimes in a position and pushing out, and like basically, you know, tell them, like, some of them, you know, they are paralyzed on part of their body, so like it still works, but they can't necessarily feel it out. It'll be like, your arm's 90% of the way there, extend your elbow, and it's like crazy because you have to like say different things. Like, most people, I show them things, you know. For these guys, I'm like, just, you know, I gotta get in their head a little bit differently. So, so they're one of my big like targets. You know, I generally have a lot of female clients. I like, you know, I like working with them too because it's fun because they don't lift heavy. Yeah. So I all of a sudden like, I'm like, all right, you're gonna do this, and then like before long they're like, gosh, like, my arms and my shoulders are just, like, killing me. And I'm like, you haven't, like, you know, you're used to lifting with your legs all the time. You know, everything you do is legs because you have, that's your largest muscle group.
Right.
So it's really fun doing that. And then I do have, like, some, I'm trying to get into, like, I think, like, family training would be really cool. Yeah. And, like, basically, you know, obviously, like, today's age, you got all these, you know, kids that are overweight or, you know, things like that. Diabetes is on the rise. So it's like, if we can like take the family and like make it, you know, because obviously the kid, you can teach a kid.
I heard a stat today actually that 50% of the world is either diabetic or pre-diabetic.
Dude, there's a lot of people, and it's scary because diabetes can lead to, like, you know, there's a lot of complications with it, but it can, you know, increase your risk for heart disease, any of those.
Yeah.
I think the scariest one is blindness and neuropathy. Yeah. It will mess with stuff in your
neuropathy is.
So neuropathy is loss of sensation in your like usually it's like your hands and your feet because you get the least amount of circulation there.
So you could stub your toe all day long and
well, actually what generally happens is you just lose the feeling in it and you have to get it amputated, which is even worse.
Never mind.
I don't know why that made me think of like Mr. Deeds, the Blackfoot.
Yeah.
Just stab it.
Yeah.
Just,
oh, that's so funny.
Yeah, you get diabetes, you get a black foot.
Yeah.
No, I'm just kidding. That's bad to put out there.
Yeah, so we're joking. With family. So do you work with like the parents and the kids at the same time?
Dude, I think that would be great. Like, yeah, I want to get into that. I haven't done it yet, but I think that would be such like a cool thing is like, you know, just showing them like squat and plank. Like these are movements that you do every day and it's cool. You know what I mean? I wish I had someone kind of like me to like, as a kid to like get into those things and, you know, at that early of an age and like,
oh, for sure.
That you know, be like, difference. Oh, I've been on the computer for however long, like I should go and do some squats and planks and things like that. Like,
yeah.
Probably going to be a little bit harder of a sell than that, but I think like getting kids like, you know, accustomed to that, like I think over
time, that makes
time,
a huge, because otherwise, really I mean, there's like a, that. I think there's a huge barrier of why they aren't like going to the gym and working out when they become young adults, just because they have no education on how to do it, and they may have like too much, like a guy might have like too much pride, like, oh, I don't need to go work out.
Yeah, right.
What are you talking about? So I think if you start with them young, then they'll already have that education, and it'll be more natural for them to just go to the gym.
And the reason why I don't want just like them is because. Like, I think, you know, it obviously falls on the parents, too. So if we can get, like, a cohesive thing in there, it's kind of like, you know, the whole nutrition thing is, like, why I went for that was, like, I kept getting all these questions of, like, you know, what do I do about this? What do I do about that? And I'm like, gosh, like, I kind of know some answers, but I don't know, like, the full thing enough to, like, feel comfortable, like, with the recommendations.
Yeah.
And so it was like, dude, all of a sudden I just, like, kind of woke up and was like, I'm doing all this strength training and then I'm just leaving them on like the, you know, a lot of people will say like 80% of its diet, 20% of its fitness.
Yeah.
I don't know what the percents are, but I definitely know that there's a lot of it on the nutrition piece. And it's like, dude, I'm like, we're giving these people a great workout and then they're just going and like sabotaging everything.
Yeah.
I mean, and it's not their fault, but like.
That was a great workout. Sort of hash browns are also great.
Dude, I just earned this whole pizza, man.
Yeah, exactly. Now this 2-liter thing is Mountain Dew.
Like,
it'll be worth it. Yeah,
exactly. So it kind of felt like, you know, it was like, I'm leaving people hanging on a really important piece of this.
Oh, right.
So that's kind of where the family thing comes into is like, you know, you got to have, I can't be the full accountability and motivation on this piece of thing.
Yeah.
So, but it is fun being that person, like the motivation and accountability is kind of funny because like people like come up to me when I'm like working with people, especially at the Y, and they're like, "You're such a great coach." Like one guy the other day came up to me, he's like, "I want to nominate you for Coach of the Year," and I'm like, "Honestly, I don't really need that because I'm just really passionate that like I want to help these people." You know what I mean? And
sure.
I just, if I could lift all day long, I'd probably like not do personal training, but it's kind of fun like writing workouts for people and like pushing them to do it.
Yeah.
And you know, you have your own thing, so like it's like, all right, you're kind of like slowly like building them up to do obviously within their goals, but ultimately some of your own like influence kind of comes off onto it.
Of course.
So I have a couple like moves that I do like that are pretty like across the board for me, and people, some of my clients now are like, oh, that's like the Blake, or like they know it's coming and they like kind of joke with me about it. And then I got like other people asking about it, they're like, what was that thing you were doing with them? And then, you know, the more you do it, the more it kind of pedals or carries on. So
yeah,
some of that stuff's kind of like the other part of training that I is kind of like that you know, like that part that just kind of comes with it. You're like, oh yeah, I didn't expect that to be like a hidden benefit in there, you know?
Right. Yeah. No, that's what I have. Sometimes when I'll talk to girls and they'll say they want to get in shape, so I'll be like, oh, you should start lifting weights, and they don't want to because they're afraid that they'll start to look like a guy,
dude,
and their muscles will get too big. And I'll try to explain to them like that doesn't just happen. Like,
right.
You don't have the testosterone to do that. So do you have? Does
so
that happen often?
I wouldn't say it's the testosterone. I would say it's like the straight up like lifestyle. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Do you follow any of like the CrossFit chicks on Instagram? You see those chicks with like shoulders and arms and abs,
I do,
and you're like,
yeah. There was
holy
one chick
fuck.
That was on the Titan, Dwayne the Rock Johnson.
Yeah,
show.
Dude. So
and she's huge.
Yeah. And like,
and she's lifting huge weight.
Right, and I think people think that's gonna happen,
yeah,
like overnight.
Like
it's
accidentally.
It's
accidentally,
right?
Got
yeah, like all of a sudden I picked
great
up these dumbbells.
Now
and
I'm 210 pounds, 5'6".
Yeah, dude. But I also look at it too as like, so what I mean by just like the overall lifestyle, like certainly hormones will play a role in there. You're not wrong,
yeah,
with that. But I look at it as like, you know, hormones, nutrition, like how consistent you're going to be. Like, I mean,
right.
I think like with a lot of the like females too is like, you know, they lift and then like, or just anybody in general really, like, and then their goals kind of change. So like, you know, with myself, as a good example of this is like, I'll be running Grandma's Marathon in June again.
Nice.
Had to rep my shirt again.
The full?
Yep, okay. Doing the full. So
nice.
Like,
why wouldn't you? Your personal training.
Dude, got to rep. Yeah. So, like, I'll naturally lose, like, strength and muscle during that time.
Because you do so much cardio?
Yep. Just because my body is, like, I look at it as, like, okay, this is not the functionality that I need. What a functionality for me right now is being able to run 26 miles.
Right.
And I don't really need the strength to lift, to bench 250 pounds and do,
yeah,
all this stuff.
Right.
So my body just kind of, like, gets rid of that for a little while.
Yeah.
So, you know, those are like small like impediments in like your actual progress into like getting huge, you know what I
mean?
Right. So that is going to push like your ability to get bigger like farther and farther. And I,
yeah,
think realistically, I think a lot of people won't have like that time on their side to be like, okay, I've been doing this for 5 years and now I'm huge, you know what I mean? I think it's like,
right,
you know, I think it's like, I've been doing this, like, I've been, you know, exercising and doing this for 5 years, but, you know, they've taken twists and turns in their 5 years, then,
yeah,
and it slows the progress down. And also, I think people realize, too, that, like, you got to eat a lot of calories
yeah
a day. Like,
yeah,
like to maintain my, like, 195 pounds,
yeah,
especially if I run, like, I think it was, like, Monday, I ran 8 miles, and I burned, like, 1,000 calories. Like I have,
yeah,
to put all that back.
Right.
My body burns naturally like 2,000 a day.
Yeah.
So that's already, I got to eat 3,000 calories.
Yeah.
Female, if you look at it, she probably burns just resting in a day is 1,500. She burns 1,000 calories. She's got to eat 2,500, which is going to,
yeah,
be pretty damn tough.
Yeah.
Like that's a lot. That's a lot of food in a day,
right,
for most females.
So are you just, I mean, are you like meal prepping or you just have like six or,
yeah,
seven Jimmy John sandwiches?
No, I meal prep. On those days though, that's a good point to bring up is like Qdoba and Chipotle. Like when,
yeah,
I have that like 1,000 calorie burn, like, yeah, you gotta have like, I wouldn't consider it like dirty. Like I'd consider dirty,
nice,
bulking like burger and fries. You know what,
right,
I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, that's straight dirty. Like, but, I would say like, you know, even Jimmy John's, like Qdoba or like burritos in general, you know, if you look at it, like the, you know, you got your starchy carb, bread,
food,
flour,
yeah,
or like a tortilla,
right,
rice, and then, you know, you have some vegetables in there. A sandwich isn't as great because you have processed meat, whereas,
yeah,
the burrito, you have like a regular good protein, you got beans in there.
Yeah.
So it's
so
like a good
burritos,
fuel source.
Qdoba over Jimmy John's.
If you are looking to, yeah, if you're looking for like your bulking food, I would
news
say Chipotle
yeah
and Qdoba over,
nice,
over Jimmy John's. Yep.
Sick.
Even like Noodles and Company.
Really?
That
is a lot of calories.
Right, right.
One of those, like,
look at the
like
noodles
the bowl
though
that I usually get. It's like, God, it's like 1,700 calories,
yeah,
or something like that.
Yeah, dude.
It's
a pad thai, I think, is 1,200 calories. A lot of carbs with that one.
Yeah.
But, you know, you can manipulate them a little bit. I know a
I
lot
suppose
of people aren't. Me eating like,
yeah,
3,500 to 4,000 calories a day, so like,
yeah,
so like you're not gonna add like extra shrimp or something in there.
Right. So
but
you think maybe you get Qdoba and you leave out the queso and the sour cream or something like that?
I don't like that because so that stuff's like added sugar. Like that's,
yeah,
like your, that's like your crappy source of calories.
Yeah.
But it also depends too. Like I always tell people, if you want to have like your, you know, like if we're talking about physique, you want to have your best physique. And you're doing really well on your nutrition all week long, and you're going to cheat because that's what you need to do. You should cheat.
Right.
You want to have a calorie burn that day on that cheat, so yeah. that you can afford some of that.
So you don't eat the cheat meal on your off day from
and things
from
like that. No, I usually line that directly up with a big burn. Because, you know, it just makes sense. You're balancing right. out, especially if you're in that weight loss, weight maintenance stage of things. You know, you want to balance out your heavy calorie meals, pizza, beer, things like that. I know you're not like, I don't want to have my best workout on like my day that I, you know, I'm going to go out that right. night. But I think if you have like a good cardio session that day,
yeah,
golden, like, yeah. because you're going to be burning a lot of calories and you're going to be evening out. You know what I mean? So you're not going right. to be gaining fat, yeah. which is a lot of people's like, I'm going to like, you know, that's a lot of people's problem. With like, you know, just overdoing it on the weekends and then the rest of the week is good.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
But, I do a lot of meal prep. It sucks.
Yeah.
Cause
like chicken and rice.
And yeah. Dude, like the classic bodybuilder, like broccoli, chicken and rice. Yeah. That's such I could eat that all the time, yeah. but, I do like burrito bowls.
So I've seen the amount of work that goes into it.
It is
a
lot.
It's insane.
But you know, I like to experiment around like, I watched Game Changers and like I wasn't
yeah,
really
I
fully I don't like the I don't plant based is like for me personally is I would say a little unrealistic, but yeah. I think some of like the concepts in it are great, like doing it once a week. So I'll like make like a soup with like extra beans and like rice in there, so I have a yeah. complete protein and it's a pretty good source of carbs. And I read like an article that was like, you know, if you do more of like a plant-based diet and more vegetables and fruits, they have your A, C, and E vitamins, which are antioxidants.
Yeah.
Antioxidants are shown to do, you know, less on inflammation. So when you're doing a lot of cardio, say like running, impact, you're getting a lot of inflammation at your joints. So that yeah. like diet modification can really help. So I was kind of like, that's a really cool concept to apply to like my nutrition in May. When I'm at like my peak, you know what I mean? Right. I want to stay there.
Yeah.
So it doesn't, I realized I'm like, you don't have to be just one or the other. You know what I mean? Your yeah. nutrition should be just like your workouts and just like, you know, just like yoga, like you wouldn't do the same yoga every time. Like all of it, you kind of build on top of each other and you yep. know, they ebb and flow. Like you're not just going to eat the same thing, you know, over and over again for the most part. I mean, there's going to be some common trends in there.
Right.
Like for me, you know, like protein shakes. I take like two or three of those a day, depending on the day. Yeah.
Holy smokes.
I eat a lot of protein a day, yeah. like 200 grams. So, woo! Yeah, that's a lot of protein.
That's pretty good.
That's well, a lot of protein.
And about the Game Changers, did you listen to the Joe Rogan podcast? Where
dude, I've listened to clips of that, man. I want to listen to like
I
the whole thing.
I listened to all 4 hours of it one day, and it was interesting because he was like going back on a lot of the stuff that he said on the thing. So they started off the podcast, and Joe was like, "All right, let's start it off." He's like, "So why shouldn't you eat meat?" He's like, "I'm not saying you shouldn't eat meat." And then everybody like, "What the hell are we here for?"
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because the entire documentary, you were saying mm-hmm. how meat is
yeah,
terrible.
Yeah, it was biased.
He's like, "I think you should put in a little bit of meat, but have it mostly plant-based." And he's like, "Well, that we really don't disagree on anything then." But then they went into 4 hours and like some of the small stuff. But it was really interesting because I watched Game Changers and I was like, I feel like this is so one-sided. Like,
yeah,
I can't trust all
it is.
Things.
Yeah.
That's going into it. And I think, of course, if you compare that to like the traditional American diet of like fast food and whatever, then yeah, of course, that's going to be way better.
Yeah.
But isn't it like a lot more difficult to get protein from just supplementing it? Like you
yeah.
kind of need the meat.
Yeah.
To...
So think of like, so if I use an example, like I'll do a lot of chicken, shrimp. I don't need a lot of beef. I deer hunt, so I get venison every year.
Nice.
So that's my main source of red meat. But you know, if you look at it, like I think 4 ounces of chicken is, you know, in that realm of like 20 grams of protein.
Yeah.
Each egg has 7 grams of protein. So 3 eggs is 21 grams there. So, you know, you have your chicken, you have your eggs, you're at 40. I add 2 protein shakes there, 24 in there. That's 48 grams. Now we're looking at 88 grams.
Right.
So that's not even like the halfway point of my 200. So then you got like a couple protein bars in there. I shouldn't even say this on here, but Larry and Lenny's cookies, like I have like
I eat those every day.
Oh my God,
every single day I have one of those.
Those are good, like those are good like food for like when you get in, you're trying to muscle build and you're like getting in that deficit. Those are good because it's 400 calories. Yeah. You got a lot of carbs to replace back your muscle energy.
Yeah.
I think it's funny how, like, you know, we live in this world of, like, I feel like it's almost like the marketing has, like, taken over. Like, you I mean, I feel like almost like a lot of things you do is like, well, it was marketed to me correctly, so I do that. And the Larry and Lenny's is like 16 grams of protein, and I like will like look at people and I'm like, don't eat all of it. Like, it's not a good source of protein because you're taking in like triple the carbs, you know what I mean? Yeah, like, your protein, you're getting 8 grams for the half a cookie, and it's like 200 calories, and you're getting a whole bunch of carbs in there.
Oh, I eat the whole thing too. Yeah, absolutely.
I don't have the self-control to eat half of it. Those are so good, too. And for some reason, I like just don't feel guilty eating it.
Oh, no. I know, because you're perceived it as healthy. Yeah, I swear. Exactly. And then you look at the back, and it's like vegan and like gluten-free, and you're like, wow, this is great. You know?
I even feel like when I'm paying for it at the register, I have like some sense
totally
of, like,
justified.
They're looking at it, and I'm like, yeah, it's a protein cookie. Calm down. Listen.
What do you think? I'm eating Chips Ahoy over here?
Seek like this one, eating freaking trash. This is a Larry and Lenny's. Back up.
But yeah, no, those really help in there. So yeah, it's weird because yeah, those would be like my common trends, right? Is like having that in there, and then, you know, I like to just kind of fluctuate vegetables. Yeah. I think it's funny because people be like, well, what should I eat? And it's like, what do you like eating, and how can you mix up what you like eating?
Yeah,
you know what I mean, like, you're probably gonna put in similar vegetables into a stir fry that you would a soup. Especially if you don't like certain ones. You know, I love making like my own burrito bowls because it's like you can pick like, you know, any vegetables. Like this week I did like kale, tomatoes, corn, black beans.
Nice.
And, you know, like obviously like you can't, those are probably going to corn and beans are probably going to be like the normal in there. But I mean, I think I've even thrown in like broccoli into that just to throw it up. Like, American Mexican, like,
exactly. I do the same thing. I make stir fries, like, literally the same thing.
Yeah,
every single day.
Bomb,
I do jasmine rice with asparagus, red peppers, and chicken, and that's like what I eat all week long.
See,
like, every
and
single day.
I think
sometimes I'll like switch out the red pepper for like an orange pepper.
Yeah,
so that's literally it. That's all I do.
But see, also too, I think that really helps in, like, your you know, like your energy, because when you get used to eating a fuel, your like body expects that.
Yeah.
And so like with people, I know like a lot of people, especially like for like college kids out there, or like people that are just kind of like, you know, us, I mean, especially our age, like, it's like, I wake up in the morning, I'm not hungry, and it's like, okay, break down for me like the last 7 days breakfast, and it'll be like, yeah, I like woke up at noon one day, and then the other day is like, yeah, before work I had like a banana, and then the other one it's like, yeah, I went out for pancakes. And I'm like, okay, so your body is very confused, you know what I mean? Because it's like, not that you have to eat like a certain calorie amount at each meal, but it really, I noticed that was a big difference for me because I had that similar problem in college. I noticed once I started getting like the similar things, you know, like I generally for breakfast is like oatmeal or like an omelet. If I have time to cook it, if I'm gonna work out like super early in the morning, it's like PB&J or cereal.
Yeah,
like it's a quick thing. And like I noticed that like it's just like all of a sudden like my body is like, dude, you're in go mode, man. Like this is your fuel for that.
Right.
I always religiously, like before my, even before grandma's, like my oatmeal will be oats. I just use the serving size, just a half cup, because I don't really need to overdo it. I do like a cup of blueberries, honey, and then a scoop of protein powder, maybe a little bit of almond milk in there.
Yeah.
And like I drink some like amino acids and some caffeine in there, just kind of get the caffeine and get rolling.
A bang. Are you talking about?
No, not a bang, but like I actually drank a bang today. It was the first
bangs.
One in a while. Yeah, I know. I remember
bangs
you saying
that. Larry
and
Lenny's cookies. That is like, that's my 4 o'clock meal. And then it's
4 o'clock meal.
I'll be like in between showings or something like that.
Oh,
and I don't have
gosh.
Time to like go eat an actual dinner. So I'll like hit Holiday real quick. I got a Holiday because they don't have Larry and Lenny's at Quick Trip. So I go to Holiday real quick, grab that, grab a bang.
See, bangs are bad.
Not necessarily, but you can drink that at like 4 p.m., dude.
Yeah,
like that 300 milligrams.
I don't. The caffeine doesn't really. It doesn't.
Oh,
like,
you're one of those people that can.
Well,
drink
I've got
coffee
I've got
like
ADHD. I can't sit still. So like that, when I take caffeine, it actually like it helps me like chill out a little bit.
I get your just yeah for sure.
It does kind of.
That's
opposite.
Funny.
But what's so? What do you think about like that intermittent fasting where you don't eat?
Dude, I actually think intermittent fasting of all of the diets out there, like your, you know, keto, vegetarian,
right,
paleo or whatever.
Yeah.
I think intermittent fasting is the best, and that's a great question because that segues into kind of what I was getting at with, like, your timing of, like, you know, eating similar things. It really requires discipline.
Yeah.
Right? So a lot of people do, like, an 8-hour feeding window. Right. So, so you have to get all of your calories in, or at least think about all getting all of your meals in that window.
Yeah.
And so, like, kind of what I was saying with, like, the people waking up, you know, you either, okay, so for those people, you wake up and you don't eat then.
Right.
And that's great because now your body is used to that, so you're running on the energy that you have or that you're used to.
Yeah.
And then you're putting in energy at the time that you're used to putting in energy.
Right.
So I like the intermittent fasting for, like, the routine of it, making it a habit. It also, I think, makes you think about, like, what you're putting in your body.
Yeah.
So, you know, especially if you're, like, you know, guys, especially as, like, you know, you got to – if you're eating 2,500 calories, like, you got to think about that with intermittent fasting.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Ladies,
that's,
you got it
a
little bit easier. That is a lot of calories. You know what I mean? So – I like to eat in 500s just to keep that simple. So that'd be 5 meals. You know what I mean?
Wow.
And in that 8-hour window. So, I mean, you're looking at eating.
It's like a meal every hour in 15
minutes. Yeah,
dude.
That's crazy. Yeah, dude. That would be, that would be intense.
That's what,
but you'd probably have some high calories. You'd probably do like 3 meals and like 2 high calorie snacks, like your Larry and Lenny.
Hell,
and maybe instead of the bang, because there's not really that much calories in there,
okay,
you do like a
chocolate
protein shake.
Oh, okay.
Yep. You can do chocolate
milk
and a protein shake. That would
Holy
give you a lot.
Smokes.
That'd give you probably 500 calories. Well, I mean, the Larry and Lenny itself will give you 400,
that's
but
400.
The protein shake will probably give you another like 200 and some in there. So,
yeah.
So I mean,
that's
you're
crazy.
There you go. You're at
that's
your.
A, that's I don't eat before noon, so I can eat from noon to 8, and I do that.
Oh, like, so you do?
I do that every day.
And
so
how does
was,
that work for you?
I was excited that you said that it's good because I was worried you're gonna be like, nah, man, you need breakfast because you're obviously it's the most important meal of the day. But I think that's one of those things that it was marketed by like cereal companies or those kinds of companies that it's the most important meal.
Yeah,
dude, I've heard from nutritionists that you don't need breakfast, and it's easier.
Right.
I know that when I eat breakfast, I get chubbier faster.
Right. Yeah. That
I don't
would,
like. I
sense.
Never really get that hungry in the morning. I used to just eat breakfast because I thought that it was what you're supposed to do.
Yep.
But now, like, it takes nothing for me to not eat until noon, and then I'll eat at noon, and then I'll have my Larry's and Lenny's at 4 o'clock, and then I'll eat dinner at like 7 or whatever.
Yep. So I was gonna say too is like, yeah, if you're eating late at night, like I noticed that myself. Like if I eat too late at night, all of a sudden I get up in the morning, I'm like, ugh.
Yeah.
Like,
exactly.
I'm definitely still in, like, digestion. Like, I don't need to put in energy right now.
Right.
But yeah, no, that's, I think that's great. Because did that help you, like, figure out when to eat?
Once I started, like, dedicating the time to it, then, yeah, it definitely did. There are some times when, if I'm up, some days I'm up, like, super, I'll be up at, like, 5:30 or whatever, and then it'll be, like, 10:30, and I will be so freaking hungry.
Mm-hmm.
But if I, like, typically I'm up at, like, I don't know, 6:30, 7 o'clock. This morning I was up at 7 or whatever. So it's fine to go till noon, but sometimes it's actually, when I'm up a little bit earlier, it's tough. But, or if I'm, like, staying out late or something like that. Like, if I'm out until, like, midnight or something,
mm-hmm.
and the last time I ate was 7 o'clock, I'm like, dude, I don't know. Pizza Luce pizza doesn't sound
good. Right. And I always look at, too, is, like, when, you know, especially with your work schedule, is, like, your brain uses glucose, which is your sugar form of carbs that you break down. So you want to really, like, you know, look at your fuels and when you want your brain to function your best. You know,
yeah.
I wish more people would, like, think about it as, like, performance. Like, how am I going to perform my best, you know, and – you know, I don't know if that's going to influence, you know, some people that are probably like, I need my Mountain Dew, you know. I'm not going to call it Bang because Bang doesn't probably have as much added sugar and BS as Mountain Dew does.
Yeah.
But, you know, you can maybe justify that. But I also would say, too, is, like, you want to be careful because, like, the added sugar, like, will crash you. You know what I mean? You get
right.
the spike.
Yeah.
And then your body, you know, usually what happens is your body is – trying to, especially if you don't use it, is your body is trying to get your blood sugar back down to level. So it's what it's going to do is it's going to load up your muscles with whatever it needs for glucose / the storage form of glucose is glycogen in your muscles, and then it'll push the rest of that to the liver, and then that'll store it as fat or whatever else it needs to do with it. So that's kind of like one of my tips with like your cheat that I was kind of getting at too is like you want to have
so your high sugary foods after your workout because you've lowered your blood sugar. So when you have that low blood sugar and you eat a bunch of sugar,
yeah.
your body's just going to suck it back into where it needs to because it, you know, did a bunch of upper body workout. You're going to put it back into those muscles, and then you're not going to have as high of effect going to the liver to, like, produce fat.
Right.
So I think that kind of blows people's mind, and it's like it does make sense because it's just timing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And looking at that performance, if you can start to kind of shift and, like, not look at, like, I hate people looking at foods as, like, I can never eat that. I'm never going to eat that. I'm only going to drink water. And I'm like.
But if you time it right.
I'm like, if you time it right, there's you're not hurting anything.
Right.
Like, why would you take it out? Why would you punish yourself? It's not a punishment. It's
so
a nutrition.
Like a slice of cream cheese or cheesecake right when you get done, like, working out. Then,
yeah, that would be the best time
to eat
it.
It's called, like, complex carbs, isn't it? Those are, like, the sugary ones that you're supposed to take after you work out.
Yep. You got complex and simple sugars. Your complex are usually in your, I want to say, like, your grains and your things. Like, people look at that differently. Sometimes I like even, like, starchy carbs and non-starchy carbs.
Yeah.
Starchy carbs are going to be, like, more of, like, your sugars and your breads,
like,
and Pop-Tart and, like, rice and
Pop-Tarts, right, Casey?
Rice and things like that.
He's like, <"I don't know." laughs>
Sorry. Actually, that's
I'm always putting words in Casey's mouth.
Brownie ones I actually do.
Disgusting.
When I was, like, I don't know, like, I don't even remember the last time I had a Pop-Tart, but, like, yeah, definitely, like, in, like, probably middle school.
Yeah.
But, you know, that would actually probably be a decent, like, pre-workout fuel.
Post-workout
snack. If Larry and
Lenny made Pop-Tarts, I'd eat them every day.
Dude, that'd be crazy. Could you imagine protein Pop-Tarts?
No, I can't imagine.
Oh, God.
Casey's like, oh, there you go.
that's an idea right
there. We should have did that for the 30-day business challenge.
Do it for real, bro.
Pop-Tarts.
Oh, my gosh.
That's awesome. So, okay, so you're splitting off. You're about to go do your own thing. Do you have anything? So I see these personal trainers that are out, like, doing their own thing, and a lot of them are, like, really leveraging, like, social media and stuff. Do you plan to kind of, like,
do
that?
That's a huge piece of business is, like, just showing what you're doing. I mean,
like, Instagram progress pics.
Yeah, I like videos, dude. Like, just showing people videos of, like, hey, dude,
that would be huge.
Throw this move together. Like, I've been doing a lot more of that. With the TRX videos, I've been putting those out there. One kind of cool thing I've been doing plan to do and show people with, like, the vulnerable adults is just have them, like, I had on my business page one of them doing, like, a crunch with my TRX because he's paralyzed on the one side, so he's got the one arm and he can't really feel out, so it's kind of awkward when he's doing it, but the TRX helps him pull it up, so it's, like, showing him or, like, showing the world, like, dude, this is a dude doing a sit-up just differently than everybody else.
Yeah.
So, like, showing, you know, and people might, like, be like, oh, I'm going to take that and run with it, or hopefully they manipulate it their own way. Like, I'm not expecting anybody to, like, you know, some of the moves are probably realistic to do, like, across the board for everybody. And some moves are, like, you know, you need to do it yourself. Like, sometimes I see, like, some, like, handstand type movements, and you're like, okay, well, maybe you want to start with, like, a wall plank, you know, like, where your feet are up a wall and, like, holding yourself there before you, like, go and try and do, like, a whole handstand thing and just see how that feels on your shoulders.
Exactly.
Before you go gung-ho and just not saying that that's going to happen, but you could save your neck from, like, possibly falling on it if you fail or whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
A lot of good conversations.
Okay, we're back on it. Okay. Sorry, folks. We had a weird thing happen. We're not going to get into it. Doesn't matter. Don't ask about it. Jesus, mind your own business. what are some, like, nutrition misconceptions that you hear? Some things that people probably think, but...
Let's see. You know, I guess, like, a big one that everybody is, like, you know, like, carbs are, you know, like, the enemy. Like I was kind of saying, you need carbs. Like, your brain uses glucose. Your brain uses carbs.
Right.
You know, I'd say it comes back to that timing piece of things. So, like, you know, like we were trying to talk about, like, the cheesecake. Like, you can eat those things. You just should either eat it around the time where you need a lot of sugar or you've burned a lot of calories.
Right.
I always think, like, the misconception of, like, you know, your, like, detoxes or, you know, not cutting out, like, huge things. Like, you don't need to cut out stuff. You just need to be smarter with your timing and your actual consumption of it.
Right.
I think if people
I'm a huge advocate for like logging, like my MyFitnessPal app. I've got 415 days that I've logged. Wow. Now, they're not all fully logged out. Some I cheated with my Garmin, and my Garmin sent the information over, and I accidentally forgot to log, which there was like a couple weeks ago when I was in San Diego, I was like, oh shit, I didn't log and I'm going to lose my streak. And luckily my Garmin like sent some information over. I'm like, oh, nice. I logged, I didn't lose my streak. So I kind of cheated, but,
yeah.
But I mean, you kind of, you get the point of what I'm getting at. Right. So I think that it can help you be like, oh, like that bowl of cereal was more than I expected. You know what I mean? Like that was way more calories than I expected. Maybe I should eat half. Like I think I can influence you versus just being like, I'm gonna not gonna eat this. And then like 3 months down the road when you're like, I'm gonna kill somebody if I don't eat this now because it's been so long and I've been so good. And then you just overindulge and then like that is kind of where it becomes a problem because you're probably gonna go through a little cycle with it. I also think, too, is, like, looking at it as, like, a diet. Like, this might be kind of unpopular, but I just look at it as, like, your nutrition, right?
Yeah.
So, nutrition is, like, what you put in your body as fuel.
Right.
You know, calories are a measure of energy. So, if you look at a calorie instead of a calorie, it's energy. And you look at, you know, the food is fuel. And, you know, it's literally like a gas in a car.
Yeah.
Then it can be a bigger shift than being like, this is my diet. That's these are so the true. Things so that I eat. It's it's a mentality. You
I had that
I mean?
Actually, it's funny you say that because I had that happen like probably 2 months ago or something like that. In my office, they bought like a bunch of pizza or something like that. So it was in there. And everyone was eating the pizza and I wasn't eating it. And one of my coworkers was like, Gage, what's going on? How come you're not eating the pizza? And I was like, I don't know. I'm not eating that right now.
I want to get toned, man.
He's like, what are you on a diet? I'm like, dude, why has it got to be a diet?
Yeah.
How come I can't just be eating what human beings are supposed to eat? Like, maybe I don't want to eat that crap. It's not like I don't eat pizza. I honestly just had a piece of pizza yesterday.
Right.
But it was just like, I was like, why has it got to be that I'm on a diet? Because I feel like when you say you're on a diet, I don't know what it is, but like it feels like it has a weird. I'm almost like, or like if you go to eat with a group of guys and you're like, I'll take the salad. And then everyone looks at you and they're like, what the hell is going on?
Yeah. No, I definitely like diet. I think diet has like a negative attached to it, because like that is, I think that goes back to kind of what I was saying, is like it's perceived as you are taking something out that a lot of people enjoy. People get a little bit weird about that. It'd be like saying, like, you know, you guys are asking me about alcohol. It was like, you know, it'd be like saying like, oh, alcohol is not a part of my diet. I don't really like say that I don't drink. I just say that like alcohol is not really a part of my lifestyle because it kind of messes with my like routines of thing. Like, you know, I mean, I like just kind of got sick of waking up dehydrated. And actually a big push was like, just like it would mess with my stomach. So I'm terrible. It was like, God, I just don't feel like eating my normal things. And then it was kind of like, this is a day lost.
Yeah.
And kind of talking back about, you know, like females not being able to build, like I was kind of realizing, I'm like, man, if I keep doing this, like, say, you know, you have however many Saturdays out of a year, and each one of those Saturdays is one of those that you kind of put your nutrition behind. It's like, man, that's kind of like a day lost for gains, you know?
Yeah.
It's not, you know, like, I feel kind of like a meathead saying, like, it's about the gains, but, I mean, it's kind of about the gains, you know?
Calm down, Blake.
It actually wasn't as hard as you thought. Like, there was a couple of, like, temptations. Like, I was at a wedding, and, it was like, you know, people that have been drinking with for a long time, and they're like, you're really not gonna drink with me? You're not gonna even have a sip? Like, what can I buy you?
They get so mad.
And literally, like, the biggest defense if you're not trying to drink is like having a drink with you. Yeah. So like I had like, you know, water with me, but I also had like I love supplements. So like that was actually one thing that really kicked me off the alcohol. Like I almost forgot about it because I was like, I just like go to GNC, and there's like probably like a big like shift in the Miller Hill Trunk like income of GNC once I stopped drinking, because it was like all that money was like going there.
Yeah.
So I was like, I'm gonna get all this stuff. So I'd have like BCAAs, and then I remember my sister was like, are you really drinking a protein shake in the middle of this right now? And I'm like, yeah. Yeah. Like straight up, like, I'm like, and that way, like, people try and give you something, and you're just like, no, like, I have something in my hand, I can't hold that, you know what I mean?
What I've done before is like, I'll have like a cup of water, and then I'll ask the bartender to put a slice of lime on it. And if anybody asks, like, yeah, it's vodka soda.
Dude, I like that, bro. Anything,
because they're like, what are you drinking? Like, vodka soda. They're like, oh, okay. Just because the lime is on it. Then you have like this little secret thing with the bartender. Oh. Like, if I come up with other people, I'm going to order a vodka soda, but pour me a water with a lime on the rim.
Dude, I like that, because that was one of my, you just figured out a big barrier for me, because most bars won't let you bring in like a drink.
Oh,
or
yeah,
like, you know, or sure, like, even if it's water. I mean, yeah, they'll, like, if you just say, like, yeah, I'm the DD. Like,
or even if you just do soda. Like, if it's just like soda, whatever. Yeah. I mean, it's.
But I like that because, like, you're, like, it comes back to, like, the whole diet thing. And, like, I feel like it's the inclusiveness, right?
Yeah.
Like, you know, you don't want to be, like, not inclusive into that.
Yeah. Not
to that. And I would say that would probably be, like, you know, the whole, like, you know, misconceptions of the whole nutrition piece is, like, just thinking of it as, like, you know, you don't have to cut out stuff or, like, you know, certainly it's a lifestyle, like, change to some degree, but it doesn't mean that you can never enjoy something. Like, that's probably a not good lifestyle change. And if you're thinking that you have to never not do that, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like, it kind of comes to the people, like, that are like, I'm going to exercise 6 or 7 days a week or every day. And I'm like, but you don't need to do that. Like, pick, like, 3 or 4 days. If you're really, really gung-ho about it, maybe if you're just getting in, pick 2 and, like, do that consistently until you feel like you need to add something else.
Yeah.
And it doesn't even, like, especially for beginners, it doesn't even need to be, like, so, like, intense about it. I feel like people need to, like, it's, like, one or the other, right?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I think maybe that's, like, the culture we live in.
Yeah. No, maybe. No, I see what you're saying, though. Like, if they can't do it 6 days a week, then, you know, why would I do it?
Yeah, why would I do it at all?
You can do it 2 or 3. So do you think it's too much to do 7 days a week?
I think so. I currently do 6 most of the time. Biking, swimming, running, lifting a couple times a week. I mean, just those 5 activities in itself is like, Jesus.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's 2-a-days. You know, if I need to, like, you know, like, just depending on how the week works out and the programming and whatnot.
Right.
And I'm not saying, like, I go in there. I'm not in there for an hour each session. Like, today I quick ran for 30 minutes, and that was my good, like, run. Like, a year ago or more, I kind of was like, I need to get in here, muscle build, and hit my muscles for, like, an hour and a half on my upper body and just destroy myself.
Yeah, exactly.
And, like, as just time went on, it was like, this is so unrealistic. Like,
yeah.
I'm waking up the next day sometimes, and I'm like, I kind of am addicted to that, like, I can't move feeling.
Yeah.
This is going to be fun walking
especially
up a hill.
Legs.
My glutes are dead.
Yeah.
Or my leg, whatever on my legs. So, yeah, I think the 7 days a week, it's just because you're setting yourself up to fail. That's all that it, like, and usually when people fail, they feel so bad about it. And it's like, it's not really that bad. You know what I mean? Like, you missed a day is not bad, or you missed this. And if you can learn from that, I think that's more important than, like, being able to continue with it for a long time. Because you might revamp, and you might even get better than you did, like, your original plan, you know?
Yeah.
I also think there needs to be, like, a rest day just almost for, like, not thinking about it, mentally resetting.
Okay.
Because I like to have people do a little bit more intensity so that, you know, especially for, like, the weight loss people, like, yeah, you're working out, but if you're sitting on the elliptical and you're just watching TV and you're not, like, I mean, hardly getting your heart rate above resting, like, that's not really that good of a workout. You might be, like, better off just taking that day as a rest day and watching TV on the couch, and then the next day just going in and really, like, really going hard and getting your heart rate up. So I think that's kind of where the rest day comes into play is, like, it's like, okay, like, you give yourself either a chance to, like, recover, physically, mentally, and then, you know, it kind of helps you coming back in fresher and, like, you're a better performance the next workout, you know?
Yeah.
Is
there ways that you, so, I mean, if you're trying to do, like, 5 or 6 days and you might hit one day where you're, not, you're just, like, you're not feeling it, happens to everybody.
Yep.
Is there something that you tell yourself to get yourself to go to the gym?
Yeah, dude. I think you look at your future self, where you want to be, and if you're, you know, you obviously, like, the first thing I always like to look at is my goals. And it's like, so for Grandma's Marathon, it's like, man, I'm going to be feeling pain.
Yeah.
So
What I'm feeling right now is probably smaller than what that pain is going to be. And do I want that pain to be like middle level, or do I want that to be like upper level? So that's one that I'll kind of do. I also like to look at it too as like, okay, so it's probably not going to be the most intense workout, or it's probably not going to be super hard or my best. But it's probably something, and I'm probably going to, like, learn from that and maybe, like, revamp my overall schedule so that the next week that doesn't hit. And maybe, too, is, like, you start off lighter. Sometimes people think it's kind of funny because, like, you know, maybe there's not a lot of people that listen to this that run, like, a half marathon. But sometimes I don't feel good until 6 miles in.
Right.
And, like, it just seems like all of a sudden I'm like, dude, my legs are tight.
Right.
Like, things like I feel like my calves are gonna cramp up, and then you know I'll slow down and like make sure like you know I'm taking in water and like doing some of those little side things that you know you probably want to be doing. Otherwise it could shift the other way, but I find that generally all of a sudden like it just is like almost like a you know relief off your shoulders, like all of a sudden it's like wow, I just kind of like loosened up. Like it was like my body accepted what I was doing, and that it was like all of a sudden like, well, you're sore, but we're just going to do this because today apparently you decided that you're going to go 10 miles and we're 6 miles in. So
no, that's the same thing with me on mountain biking too. When I mountain bike in the summertime, like it, honestly, I think it is 6 miles. It's like once I hit mile like 4 or 5 and into mile 6 a little bit, I'm like, oh my God, what's going on? I'm like, all of a sudden I feel like I'm out of shape. I'm going to die. And then I get beyond like that 7-8 mile mark. And I am like, I feel like I can go forever. Honestly, I feel like I can just go and like not stop. And my dad races competitively sometimes in mountain bike stuff. And he says the same thing. He's like, once you get past like that certain point and you for some reason you just get like an extra burst of energy.
Yeah. A second wind. Like,
yeah.
And I think too is one thing, that a big prevention of that, you know, this is maybe like different than, you know, where you wake up and it doesn't feel good, but if you warm up longer, that effect can be much better. So if you look at that, like first 6 miles is like your warm up, and you're not like pushing your heart rate to be like so high. Yep. I use the example a lot of like, I used to just like go out my front door and run.
Right.
And I would like do like a 7:30, and then I'd do like an 8 and a 9, and then I would do like a 7:30, and I'm like, what the hell is going on here? And I realized, like, once I started really tracking my heart rate and stuff, I realized like my heart was coming up super high during my 7:30, and then it was just dipping down as I'd get tired, and then it was coming up again. And what you want is like, you know, kind of like, you know, similar to like your mileage, you want like a steady climb, and then your heart rate will kind of dip off and plateau.
Yeah.
And it's finding like, there's like the buzzword word or term would be like steady state. Yeah. So like you're getting your heart rate steady. So if you need to run, you know, your 7:30 at, you know, 160 beats per minute, you don't want to just jump up to 160 beats per minute. You want to like climb up there, and so you can hang out there so that your heart is like, I'm chilling now, you know what I mean? So, And I'll talk to people like that too. Like all of a sudden, you know, I've been doing my normal run, and all of a sudden I just feel so fatigued, and I'm like, what are you doing for a warm up?
Yeah.
Like, and they're like, oh, it makes so much sense now. I'm like, but you wouldn't think to like, you know, you do it all the time. You just want to go to that pace, but that's not realistic for your body, especially depending on what the previous days looked like. You know what I mean? So I'm been very conscious about like warm up.
Yeah.
Still trying to get better at the cool down, but that's obviously important too. Like, you know, as you get older, like you don't want to like be leaving the gym off a super high heart rate and just
boom,
like
the couch.
Cause that could be potentially dangerous for just like your heart and your blood pressure in general.
Oh, for sure.
And you know, if you can then stick your flexibility in there to kind of do a little full circle on our thing here is like, you know, throw a little yoga in there so that you actually get that mindful relaxation so you can leave the gym and you're mentally reset, you know what I mean?
Right.
So that that might actually help you when you wake up in the morning or the next day and you got to do your workout where you're not like, you don't have that feeling where like, God, I just am like beating myself down and pounding through this, you know what I mean? It can help you kind of like detach and like move on.
Which I think is sometimes, you know, that's, I definitely get that same thing. It's like, oh God,
yeah,
I did the swim late night. Now I got to do this run in the morning.
Yeah.
Like,
no, it sucks. I still want to
hit my legs.
Sometimes it's like literally the last thing that I want to do. But one thing that I started doing, like on days that I just don't want to go to the gym, is I almost treat myself like a dog, like going to the vet. And how you're like, no, we're not going to the vet. We're going to the park. So I try to like trick myself into like, all I have to do is just get there. And, like, if I get in the door, then I can usually like motivate myself to do something. Or at the very least, I have like a shitty workout, but it's probably better than no workout at all. But I seriously like, I can complain. I let myself complain the whole way. Like, this is dumb. Like, I'm not going there. I'm just going to go and whatever. I'm just going to like go in and then turn around and walk out.
But, if you can do like on my way there, you're like, holiday, Larry and Letty's and bang. Yeah. And then like.
Yeah, exactly. Shotgun and bang real quick. And then if you can just like literally just get your body into the gym, like even if you got to go on autopilot and then just fall into the front door, like you can typically figure it out.
Yeah, for sure. No, and I think too is like I said, it doesn't have to be hard every single time.
No.
I think that's unrealistic. But you know, and it's funny too, is like people will say like, you know, I'll ask them like, how was your workout today? And they're like, oh, really crappy. And my like whole pickup line after that is just like, well, it's better than the workout you would have had on the couch. You know what I mean? Because that was no workout. So, like, what really is a shitty workout?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, even if it was that, like, light intensity, mindless cardio, like, I mean, maybe you did need some calories. Like, that light calorie burn your heart rate up and, you know, maybe it's resetting your head or getting away from something.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of benefits that, like, people just overlook and they, like, try and get, like, to the huge picture.
Right.
So I think that's where, like, the goals come into play, you know, looking at your goals and, you know, probably not, like, overtaking some of those things too seriously, which is hard to do, but you do need mental breaks from some of that, too.
Yeah, no, I think that's true as well. And I think, like you said, the thing with the goals is they look at it, they try to look too far, like, forward in it.
Mm-hmm.
But what you don't realize about a goal is, like, in order to achieve it, you need to do something every single day in the direction of that. So if you're like, I want to hit the goal of losing 50 pounds, then you should be doing, like, every single decision that you make throughout each day should be influenced by that goal that you have in the future. Even if it seems, like, almost, like, undistinguishably small. Like,
and I think my nutrition certification called that, like, a process goal. So, like, you know, rather than, you know, obviously, like, my ultimate goal, 50 pounds or 100 pounds of weight loss, it's like maybe your like month goal should be like 4 pounds. You know, a pound to 2 pounds a week is healthy weight loss. So if you just, you know, and lowballing it, especially for a weight loss goal like that, would be way better, because if you do lose, say, you know, you lose on that upper end of that 8 pounds, like that's going to feel way better knowing that and being like, my goal is 4. And then hopefully that motivates you to kind of, you know, stick with it through the hard times that will come when it's plateaus a little bit. You're like, hey, I lost 8 pounds the first month. Like, you know, like that, it might not be so bad. Like, my goal is still probably going to be hit, you know, with that ultimate weight loss.
Yeah.
So yeah, you definitely have to have like small goals. Like, I don't just go and be like, I need to run a marathon and like start, like, I'm like, I need to run, like, I need to prepare to run like a 10 or 15 mile run.
Yeah.
Well, now it's 15, but it's like, it's like, I should be running like an 8 and a 6 and then like a 3 that's kind of like get some speed work in there. And, so yeah, it's like, you don't want to jump into the deep end on that.
Yeah. You mean you could like legitimately hurt yourself, I think.
Absolutely.
Yeah. What about like fitness misconceptions? You think there's anything, any of those?
I'd say there's a lot of those. The biggest one, man, and it's crazy, like it comes to the weight loss, I would say, is like people think like, what do I do for my abs? What do I lose off here? Like, you know, ladies, it's like legs and butt and triceps. You know, it's like where you carry your fat, and it's different for guys and ladies.
Yeah.
And you can't spot reduce fat. Like, I think it's funny because, like, you know, I'll follow a bunch of bodybuilders and like they get like all these weight loss questions. I swear they copy and paste their answer from like a video that they have recorded, and it makes sense because, I mean, yes, you want to be consistent with that answer, and it's for weight loss, want to be in that weight, like a deficit of calories so that you can, you're burning more than you're taking in calorie wise, easiest way to put that. And then you're making sure that you're consistent with that. You know what I mean? So I'm like, I will tell people, you know, they're like, what do I do for this? And I'm like,
so you can't only lose your love handles.
Right. And I mean, yeah, some areas it's probably going to be awkward for a little while because it's going to lose their last. But that's like, that's where you're kind of like, you know, you got to realize, like, you got to look at the big picture of, like, overall, like, I lost X amount. Like, I still have some goals with losing that portion. But a lot of people think, like, you know, it's all about exercises. What are my exercises for my abs? And it's like, you know, obviously I try, and I've been sneaky about it, and wrap it into, like, calorie burn.
Yeah.
So a lot of people, you'll see so many people do, like, the crunch machine in any sort of gym, or, like, that stupid, I have a problem with, the rotary torso.
Oh,
So the reason why I hate those is because the range of motion is so short.
Yeah.
And you're not using very many muscles to do it.
Right.
So, and then people, my answer is planks, because you're on your elbows, you're squeezing your shoulder blades, you're squeezing your core, your chest, if you can.
Yeah.
You got your legs doing work in there.
Right.
Yeah. You know? So you're using all your muscles at once.
Hate
so you're
planks.
Getting more. I know, man.
They
but
hurt.
you're getting more. You're getting more muscles at once. It's burning more calories. So if you want that weight loss, I also like it too. Is just like a total body, like, you know, like, connection. You know what I mean? Because you really have to
mental thing.
Yeah.
I really think that's honestly probably the biggest thing. Is I can't sit there for. 3 minutes
dude,
and just stare at my phone. That's
it
takes so long.
So that's where, like, you know, you can do that, like, and then you add in like a plank jack. So, like, you're in your plank position, you jump your feet out. I actually, just for the hell of it, like, I had one of my interns at the Y, like, do like an assessment on me, and I was like, all right, plank assessment, I'm gonna hold it as long as I can. I held it for 5 minutes. Fucking, it was crazy, bro. I'm like, it was to the point where my shoulders felt like somebody was digging like a fire stick in them. And
I was
just like, honestly, like, yes, like, I could probably dig deep and find some more mental strength just to, like, keep going and, like, whatever. But I'm like, this is just to the point where I'm like, I don't need to do this again, you know? But it was funny because, like, yeah, it's like okay, where does, like, you wanting to, like, you know, do something and you just, like, it not being a good goal anymore, like, collide?
Yeah. Oh, exactly. Yeah. No, exactly.
But it's kind of fun just to say I did it.
Yeah, no, that's long. What's a long? I think I saw the world record. It's like 6 hours or something like that.
Oh yeah,
it was
dude.
Done by this dude that was. I think he was like a vet in the Marines.
I believe that.
Like that.
Yeah,
and he's like, those guys overseas are going through much harder shit than I'm going through right now.
Yeah.
So if you think this, I'm gonna get
this is probably David Goggins, man. You know David
probably,
Goggins?
Yeah,
oh my gosh, I think he's got the
pull-up record.
Yeah,
he?
Dude, I think he's got the most pull-ups in a day. I was listening to him on Joe Rogan, and like
he
was, dude, he's just nuts. Like that mental strength is another level. I think he did like 1,000 some in like it was like a couple thousand or something in a day.
Yeah.
And he was like, just like his muscles, like just what he was describing with it. I was just like, dude, that's nuts.
He's
man.
Wild though. If you're ever like feeling, for those of you listening, if you're ever feeling like unmotivated, go to David Goggins' Instagram, GOGGINS,
yep.
How you spell his last
yep.
name. Go to his Instagram and just like watch some of the videos that he has on there, because he is like a maniac. In every video, he's like, yeah, I'm on mile 75 on a
and
quick afternoon run.
He's doing crunches and he's like yelling at the camera, and I'm just like, bro, this is fucking awesome right
this
now.
Dude needs to get tranked or something. He's freaking out. He's out of control.
Yeah, honestly.
Man. But Casey, how far in are we?
Now we're in 14.
Nice.
Okay.
That's good. That's a pretty good length. How do you feel? You got more you want to talk about?
The only thing like left that I would say is I offer a free personal training session for anybody in the Duluth area that wants to train with me.
FRE, free, that is.
Yes, for free, no obligations. Yeah. And one of the things that I noticed with that people think is like you need to get in shape to train with a trainer. I want to get in shape or do this or that before.
Yeah.
And definitely don't do that. Definitely, like, at least if the minimum is, like, talk to me or, like, ask me questions about what you should be doing for X goal, because you could be doing it the wrong way and hurt yourself, and that'll put you on the sideline for longer and get you farther away from your goal. So
I offer the same thing with nutrition coaching, and then after that, obviously, there's some help that goes into it, but pretty much everything I do is, like, through a Google Doc, and I write everything out, and I got videos, and I always try and provide resources, and even if, say, we did a package together, I always say, like, I'm a resource for you, because my whole goal with the training is to try and get people off on their own, feeling confident and comfortable doing what they want to do for workouts. And then it also benefits me because in the end, once you hit that level of all the basics, eventually, generally, you will probably come back to me or ask me questions because there will be, I always look at it as there's levels to your fitness, there's levels to your nutrition. As a quick example is like, you know, logging your foods or even just starting to eat more intuitively. Yeah. Your next level on top of that would be then weighing your food and making sure that you're logging it consistently. And then after that, after that is going to be just meal like programming is what I call it, is like finding the right percentages of each ingredient in each one so that when you have your overall macro goal, you're hitting that with each meal. And that's just, you know, that it works the exact similar way with like weightlifting, you know, building up your reps or whatever your goal is with that. So don't hesitate, always ask for help. You know, trainers are really good with giving away like free time, especially Instagram, any sort of social media. That's the great place to reach out. You can find me at BP Health X Fitness.
Nice.
So
on Facebook or Instagram?
Both Facebook and Instagram. Blake Peters.
What is it again? BP Health.
Yep, BP Health X Fitness.
Boom.
If you type in hashtag persistence transforms, you'll also find some posts from me in there. Nice. But I try and with my business page, I always try and like do like a nutrition and exercise a week just because I know that brings value to everybody. And that whole thing is like trying to bring value. So if you're not asking me questions, I probably can't bring you free value that I would love to bring you. But don't hesitate to ask for help and get out there because the summer's coming and you want to be active and perform your best. So, you know, generally outside more, especially us in Duluth.
Yeah.
So you wanna make sure that you're not slugging or slow while you're in your prime season that only is very short.
Yeah.
You wanna be able to ride your 20 miles
instead of
having to ride 10 and have to cut her short on such a beautiful sunny day.
Exactly. Nice. I love it. Casey, you got anything? Casey's a vegan, so the whole time we were talking vegans. I know, I totally forgot.
He was probably like these sons of bitches.
He was like these freaking meat eaters over here talking smack. Any fitness questions, Casey? Anything like that? Nutrition?
I was going to say, how long have you been sober?
With alcohol free?
Casey,
So, like September 2018.
Oh, dang.
Yeah, dude.
Nice.
Yeah.
Congrats. That's impressive.
Lot.
30 days and that was
tough. It's a lot easier than you think. I think if you listen to my tips, what I said is just like you have something with you. That goes for, I would say, too, is like your overall like nutrition. Like if you're really trying to stick to something, like, you know, especially like you're vegan, I'm sure you've like, especially at like parties and things like that, like I can imagine, like I eat carrots and cherry tomatoes for snacks. Like I'm always the one with the veggie tray when I go to a party because I'm like, fuck Doritos and like all this stuff. I mean, yeah, I'll eat some of it, but I also don't want to rely on like other people's like bad choices aid. Like I don't want to like be like, oh well, this is my excuse. I'm here and this is what I have to eat. You know what I mean? Like that's a bad excuse for yourself, you know what I mean?
Right, yeah.
So I imagine, you know, you have that struggle of, like, you know, I need to make sure, like, I have my vegetables or, you know, the things that I naturally eat that go into my macros with me. And I would just say, you know, you gotta hold on to that when people ask you about it and, like, be unapologetic about it. Like, why do people need to be, like, you know, feel like you need to be included in on whatever they like eating or want to cheat on, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, it's your lifestyle. And you got this one body for your whole life. So you want to treat it and make it go as long as it can. And if you're putting in the right things,
I think you're,
you know, making the right choices and, you know, saying no, the fear of missing out on something I think is much smaller than, or, you know, much less beneficial than,
like actually just keeping on that routine.
Yeah. So no, that makes a lot of sense. Well, Blake, thank you.
Yeah, guys, dude, thank
don't
you.
Don't forget, if
great.
You need any video work done, Casey's your dude, Casey Flipson. Message him on Facebook, something like that. Otherwise, we got a high five because it's the high five of KHR. But Casey, we didn't high five last episode. It literally hit me in the middle of the night, like three nights ago. Yeah, people were like, dude, I just unsubscribed. What are you? I was waiting for the high five. Nothing freaking happened. Yeah. But yeah, hey, thanks for coming on the podcast.
Yeah, was, dude, thanks for having me.
That was fun, for sure. Nice work, Casey. Good job, everybody.
Well done.
Well done. That was a good one. That honestly might have been my favorite one that we've ever done.
Oh, dude.
I'm not kidding you.